Have you ever had a circumstance or a situation in your life that it just seemed like it was impossible? There was absolutely no way that this, whatever it is, was going to come to fruition without what seemed like a miracle of our master. Maybe you even said that to yourself. Maybe you've used that term, outside of a miracle, this is just not going to happen, or this is going to happen. And then I hope and pray that along the way, you saw God show up in a real incredible way in your life and just do the impossible. Well, that's what we're going to look at today. Once again, we're going to be taking a look at another one of the miracles of the Messiah. This one is the feeding of the 4,000. So grab that Bible, turn it over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day has been outstanding and just going splendidly with the Father. I mentioned just a moment ago that we were actually going to be looking at a passage of where Jesus fed the 4,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. And this account is really a testament to Jesus' compassion and the abundance that comes from having faith in Him. Now, you notice, once again, throughout all of these miracles that we have been talking about since we started our miracle series, one of the big overriding themes is compassion, where Jesus had compassion on the people. Now, I always like to say that we serve the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same one who still has compassion on each and every one of us today. So let's go ahead and take a look at our scripture. It comes out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading at verse 32. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning with verse 32. It says, "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few fish. So he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful once again for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather around your word, Lord, to share, to look into the great mysteries that you want to reveal to us. Lord, we thank you for those miracles, and we thank you for what they represented, not only to the people who got to experience them, but Father, the concept of what you what we get to experience today as we follow you and as we're faithful. So Father, today teach us again from your word. May the Holy Spirit be prevalent in our lives. And Father, as always, I just ask that you would use me. Lord, just use me as your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up. So speak to your children today, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, when as we look at these particular passages, it's always good to have a little bit of context about what's going on in the passage, okay? So, yeah, the event of the feeding of the 4,000, it occurs when Jesus has traveled to the region of Decapolis. Now, the one thing you got to understand about Decapolis was that was a place that was predominantly inhabited by Gentiles. Yeah, as these miracles go on, you start to see Jesus branching out from just doing those miracles in the presence of those who were the Jewish people and starting to get into some of those Gentile areas. You saw that over the last several weeks, particularly as we have talked about Jesus actually moving into the areas that were more inhabited by the Gentile people. Now, what was going on was that people from the surrounding regions had gathered together to hear Jesus teach and also to witness his miracles. I mean, word had spread fast about what Jesus was doing. And I'm sure that there was a lot of curiosity. There were folks who wanted to see what was taking place, people that wanted to know, you know, what's going on with this guy called Jesus. And they had heard of the miracles that he had performed, and they went to kind of check it out for themselves. I know if you're like I am, there are times when you'll hear things and you're like, you know, I gotta see this for myself. So what you do is you want to get a firsthand view of what's taking place. And that's exactly what was going on as Jesus was going about teaching. People from that region had heard about him. They had come to hear that teaching and also to witness and to view some of those miracles. So the crowd, man, they were just enthralled with the teaching of Jesus, so much to the point that they were watching and hearing him teach, and they were watching him do these miracles. And it was such a big deal for them that they actually had remained with him for 3 days without food. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine, you know, being somewhere? I mean, call it an event, call it whatever you want to call it, but you stay there for 3 days and the concession stands closed. There's no food. There's no nothing. So Jesus, realizing that the folks had been with him for 3 days and hadn't eaten, kind of begins our narrative. And when he begins the narrative, Jesus begins by expressing compassion for the multitude. All of a sudden, you know, well, not all of a sudden, Jesus had always known about it, but all of a sudden he comes up and he says, you know what, I have compassion on this multitude. He realized that they had been there for 3 days and didn't have anything to eat. So he says to his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. That's actually verse 32 of our text here today. Now, this shows that Jesus had a concern, and it demonstrates his empathy for the physical needs of the people alongside his desire to fulfill their spiritual needs. Now, man, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of different branches I could go with that particular thought at this point, but I'm going to hold it here for just a few minutes, but give you some examples here in just a few moments. But essentially, when we look at the interpretation of what's going on in our text today, the disciples begin to question how they're going to be able to pull this off. You know, they're sitting there thinking, how is it that we can feed such a large crowd in such a desolate place? I mean, you got to remember that where these people were, it wasn't close to town. It wasn't close to any place where they could go out and buy food. I guess if you would look at it today, you could sit back and say there wasn't a Wendy's down the street or a Taco Bell or even a grocery store for that matter. So all of a sudden, with Jesus' words, the disciples are presented with what they consider to be a problem. How are we going to solve this problem? Jesus wants to feed these people, but we don't have any place where we could even acquire food, not to mention how much it would cost to be able to do something like that. It's ironic that the disciples didn't even say, well, Lord, we don't really know how much it's going to cost to do this or how much food that it's going to take, blah, blah, blah. They never said any of that. Their deal was, there's no place for us really to be able to acquire this food. And by what they said to Jesus, this was revealing their doubts. Remember, they were in the midst of the circumstance, just like you and I find ourselves in oftentimes. We find ourselves in the midst of a circumstance, and it's sometimes so hard to see outside of the circumstance. Sometimes it's hard to see the big picture that God has in store because we're looking on what's immediately in front of us, okay? Now, I want you to think about this for a minute because there's another interesting caveat that goes along with this. You know, the disciples not only have seen Jesus do something like this before, remember, they had already witnessed a similar miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. Remember, we talked about that just a few weeks ago. This is the feeding of the 4,000. So the disciples had actually been in this type of a situation before. They saw how Jesus rose to the challenge, as it were. They saw how Jesus was able to take little and make it into something. And yet, here they are in the same situation with 1,000 less people, and now they are essentially, once again, having doubts about what Jesus can do. So, you know, you got to think about that for a moment. If you put yourself in that place, Yeah, what would you be thinking? Would you be sitting back going, well, you know what? We've been here before. We've seen Jesus do this before. All we have to do is keep our eyes open, remain obedient to what he tells us to do, and everything is going to be fine. Now, a lot of us would sit back and say, sure, I could have done that in that situation because I've had some experience along the way. Folks, it's no different than what you and I are going through today. We have seen God show up in our lives in miraculous and incredible ways, and yet, when we find ourselves in the midst of a circumstance, very often what happens is we kind of run to the tunnel vision and sit back and say, I don't know how this is going to happen. And that really begins to show our doubts in what the Savior can do. And folks, faith and doubt are polar opposites of one another. Remember, they're in that situation. We got 4,000 people. They need to eat. There's nothing around. What are we going to do? Guys, you've been here before. Yeah, you've seen what Jesus did with the 5,000. So they still failed, the disciples still failed to grasp the extent of Jesus' power. And what they did, yeah, was they had a question that Jesus asked them. Down there in verse 34 of our text, the question Jesus asked them is, how many loaves do you have? And I think that's a very, very critical question at this particular point. And it's directing them to recognize the resources that they already possess. What do you already have? What is in your hand? What is around you? We've seen scriptures that have highlighted that particular point on so many occasions. If you will remember in the Old Testament, the story about the widow whose sons were about to be taken as indentured servants, and you know, the widow goes to the prophet and says, hey, they're getting ready to take my sons. What do we do? The word of God through the prophet said, well, you know, what do you have? What do you have in the house? And she said, I don't have anything except this little jar of oil. And then if you remember, the prophet at the direction of God told her to go out and collect pots, as many as you can find, not just a few. And then we know that the story continues that she went into the room with her sons, took a pot, she began to pour the oil in the pots as the prophet had directed her to do so, and the pots would fill up, and then they would get another one, and then that pot would fill up, all out of something that was just a tiny, tiny amount. Once again, Jesus asked us, he asked me, he asked you today, what is it that you already have? What is it that you possess? So with 7 loaves and a few small fish, Jesus gives thanks. That's what the disciples said. Well, we've got, you know, 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Here they are. So Jesus gives thanks. It says he breaks them, and then he distributes the bounty to the crowd through his disciples. Once again, his disciples participate in that miracle by Jesus handing it to them and then passing it out to the people. 4,000 people, okay? And I'm going to highlight something about that in just a minute as well. But the word tells us that all, every last one of them, ate and were satisfied. I mean, you know, sometimes what happens in our society is that if we haven't eaten for a long time, when we do have the chance to sit down and eat, we do this thing called binge eating. All of a sudden, we stuff ourselves till we feel miserable. And I have a feeling that probably happened along the way in this particular instance as well, particularly since they're sitting there thinking, hey, it's free food and I hadn't eaten in 3 days. But it says all of them ate until they were satisfied, all right? In other words, it wasn't, well, you can have this little piece of fish or you can have this, just one please, one fish, one piece of bread. No, it says they all ate and were satisfied. And then even after everybody had eaten, the word tells us once again that they gathered up 7 baskets of leftovers. Wow, think about how big God is. Think about how we're sitting back. You know, if you insert yourself into our scriptural text today, you would be sitting back going, Lord, you want us to feed these people, and we don't even have anything to feed them with. And Jesus said, what do you got? Well, we got this. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus multiplies it, and they collect more leftovers than they actually had to start with. Because, the word goes on and it tells how many baskets. It says they gathered 7 baskets of leftovers. They didn't even have 7 baskets of food to start with. Folks, when God shows up, he shows up in great, incredible, and miraculous ways. And sometimes we underestimate what he can do. Sometimes we have many thoughts when Jesus wants us to have great and incredible thoughts. So this miracle illustrates Jesus' ability to provide not only to provide, but to provide abundantly beyond what immediate expectation was. And to be honest with you, I think that the expectations were very low to start with, even though they had already seen Jesus do something like this. It's generally in the aftermath when we look back and you sit back and you're sitting there and you're going, wait a minute, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 baskets. We didn't even have that much to start with. Then you begin to realize what an incredible God we have, what an incredible God we serve, and his resources are beyond anything that we could ever imagine, okay? So when we think about this, you know, I've said so many times, head knowledge is a good thing, but it needs to become heart knowledge. So how do we take what we learn from these scriptures and make application to our lives today and to our walk today as we continue to serve the Lord? Okay, this passage reminds us of Jesus' unwavering compassion. There's that big word again, compassion, his unwavering compassion. He had it for them back in the days when he walked the earth in this passage, and he has it for you and I today as well. We are encouraged to have faith that our needs, both physical and spiritual, will be met when we place our trust in Jesus. The passage teaches us to look beyond our limitations and to rely on divine provision. You see, if we can't handle it, then it's going to have to be divine provision. And when it shows up in the manner that it showed up in this particular text, that's divine. And that same thing can happen to you and I today. You know, practically, it challenges us to address the needs of those around us and to reflect on Christ's compassion in our everyday encounters. Now, you know, one of the things that I have said so very often is this. You know, it's tough when we walk in our society today to sit back and the word even speaks out against this when somebody has a need to be able to go to them and say, oh, be warm, you know, be warm and go with God, as it were. You know, you get a whole lot greater audience when the Lord uses you, and this is a key term, not that you did it on your own, but when the Lord uses you to meet the needs of somebody else, when you are an instrument in the hands of the Father to provide a need, a physical need for someone else, they're a whole lot more apt to listen to you in regard to the spiritual need. Now, too many times, you know, we will see things like that. I mean, I know that for years and years, our church would feed the homeless people in downtown Greensboro. They would provide a meal for over 200 homeless folks, and they would show up. Now, they would be fed. The first thing they would do is they were fed. They could come for the meal, but they also came for a spiritual meal. There was always a devotion. There was always a biblical passage. There was always the gospel reach into their hearts and into their lives. Now, some would sit back and say, well, you know, some of those people just showed up for the food. Yeah, they probably did. But yet, you know, along the way, there were some of those folks that showed up for a hot meal, but they got more than just simply a hot meal. They got filled physically, and they got filled spiritually as well. Some have given their lives to Jesus and will spend an eternity in heaven just because of that. And man, what a phenomenal, phenomenal testimony that is. So we need to do and follow the example of what Jesus did. He not only met the spiritual need, but he also met the physical need along the way. So, you know, when we think about it, the feeding of the 4,000 shows us a Christ who brings abundance with little and still satisfies every need. I honestly believe if I was a disciple, I feel like if I was one of the disciples that was there, I would be doing the same thing that I think I would that I do every time I read this passage, you know, which is what I mentioned a moment ago, when I would sit back and when it's all said and done, we've done a good job, we've worked hard, we've served the people, and then Jesus says, go pick up the leftovers. At that point, I'd probably be scratching my head going, leftovers? Man, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm already a little overwhelmed because my basket that had, you know, bread and fish in it didn't seem to be running out. And the more people I served, it seemed like there was more in there. And then at the end of it, Jesus said, okay, now boys, y'all grab some baskets and go pick up the leftovers. I'm sitting there going, what are you talking about leftovers? You got hungry people. They haven't eaten in 3 days. There's probably not going to be any leftovers. And yet, as they took those baskets in obedience to Jesus and went through the crowd, by the time they came back up, 7 baskets of leftovers, which was more than what they even started with. And I mean, for me, that's a mind-boggling thing. That truly is the classic definition of a miracle. How could the need be met with such little and us at the end of the day collect more than what we even started with? I can only give you one answer for that: the provision of God. And He will do the same thing in your life, and He will do the same thing in my life, providing that we are obedient to Him. You know, this miracle that we're reading about today is a call to trust in His provision and to embody His compassion to other people. And may this miraculous account inspire each and every one of us to live with a heart that is open to divine possibilities and a will that is prepared to serve Him. I always like to use that term, divine appointments. The Lord has divine appointments lined up in our lives along the way. And I still believe that God does miracles. I've seen it happen. I've been in that position before where I'm like, wait just a minute. We had 7 fish and a few loaves to start with, and we got 7 baskets left over? Come on, man. How does this work? There's only one answer to that. That is through the power and provision of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He still wants to apply that in your life and my life today. One of the big questions is, are we being obedient to what the Father has to say to us, even when it seems like it's so impossible? Yeah, how's that working in your life today? I hope and pray that this week you will reflect on those things as we continue to serve the Father. In just a moment, I'm going to close this out in a word of prayer, but I want to share with you what our readings for this week will be. This week, our Bible reading is going to come out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. And next week, we're going to discuss the 22nd miracle in our series of miracles of the Messiah. And next week, we're going to be looking at the healing of a deaf man. And the passage is actually going to be Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. So that's, again, Mark 7, 31 through 32. I hope and pray that you'll be read up on that next week as we gather together. And maybe the Holy Spirit will stir your heart and draw you closer to the Master. So let me close us in a word of prayer today. Father, as we come to You today, we want to thank You for the lessons that we find in Your scripture today of the feeding of the 4,000. Lord, we just pray that You will help us to trust in Your boundless provision. Lord, there's no fences around it, but Lord, Your boundless provision is granted to Your children. And Lord, I pray that You will help us to show compassion to those in need. Lord, sometimes when we do that, it's going to be costly. Lord, sometimes when we do that, it's going to take our time. But Lord, we will be a reflection of the Savior, and we will be a reflection of the compassion that You showed to Your people throughout Your word and that You still show today. Father, there's a lot of people we come in contact with that You want to show compassion to, but You want to use us as instruments in their lives. And Lord, You want us to be Your representative to show that compassion. I pray that we will see those divine appointments along the way and that You will help us as we serve You. Lord, we pray that You will fill our hearts with gratitude and faith as we journey through life. And may we always, always seek to serve others just as Jesus did and just as He showed us by example. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray God's going to bless you very, very richly as you follow Him throughout this week. As always, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love for you to stop by and worship with us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with the area, we're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. And if there's any other information that you need, you can go to our website. It's usually listed throughout this broadcast on the screen, but the website is www.oakridgecbc.org, and that CBC stands for Central Baptist Church. You can find any information that you need from there, or you can contact us. We would love to hear from you. But if you show up on Sunday, please take a moment to find me. Everybody just calls me Pastor Roy, and you can say, hey, look, I just wanted to meet you and let you know that I tune in to the Wednesday Bible study. And we would be just so tickled to death to have you worship with us in spirit and in truth. And we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you.